I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 96. Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96. I want you to stand once you find Psalm chapter 96. Look for verse number 3. Psalm chapter 96, verse number 3. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. Psalm chapter 96. Starting with verse number 3, the Bible says, "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." Stay right there, if you will. I'm going to read another passage to you, but you can remain standing. In John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." There have been two comparisons. Listen. Look right this way. Now it's time to be real quiet, okay? No more talking. In John 1:14, God talks about Jesus being full of grace and truth. There's a comparison there. In Psalm 96, verse number 6, it says honor and majesty are before Him, and then He uses the terms strength and beauty. Again, a comparison. Strength and beauty are not identical. Grace and truth are not identical. One is the strong side of something, and the other is the attractive, or what we might call the softer side of something. And it's describing Jesus. He's one of strength and beauty, one of grace and truth. The term that best describes that is the word balance. Balanced. The sermon tonight is called A Balanced Church. That has, since I began to understand the concepts of the Bible and church building, I've always wanted to have a balanced church. And let me pray for us. Father, bless us this evening. Take the sermon. Get glory to Thyself. God, the sermon is somewhat philosophical, but the philosophy is Yours. So might it be portrayed properly through this human vessel. Might I give You exactly what You want out of this sermon, and might our church be stronger because of it. Holy Spirit of God, still us. Strengthen us. Give us the attention of the people, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Let's do this. I probably need someone that will just make sure this little guy has someone to sit with. Nanette, why don't you come up and you or David come up and get him? He's not bad. He wants to talk a little bit during church, and he doesn't know to whisper like the adults do when they're doing it. And so, yeah, just sit with Nanette. Good. Thank you, sweetie. You're doing good. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble at all. But thank you for helping me, and you helped Miss Nanette be quiet during the service. A balanced church. The verses that I read to you, they teach us the great need of balance in the Christian life. This balance should be sought in all areas of our life. And I think that not only should you and I want to be balanced Christians, I think that we ought to want our church to be balanced. I have a little object lesson with me. That thing right there helps me. When I want to make sure that I get something square, I use this. That level, as you can see, if you've never used one of these, there's a little liquid there, and there's a bubble right in the middle that's an air pocket. And the whole object is, when this is level, that bubble is in the middle. For instance, you can tell your pastor is on the level because my bubble is in the middle. But the whole object is to make sure that thing's level. Now, someone that worked in the construction field or the engineering field, they would tell you, if you, for instance, were going to build a building, you're going to build up on a foundation, and you don't get the foundation level, flat, square, you're going to have a problem. You see, if it were tilted off to the side and you build up, it would make it so that what you were building could easily fall over, wouldn't be square, it wouldn't be right. How many of you have ever flown on an airplane? I'm not a pilot. The only pilot experience I have is when I worked on my aunt's farm, and they would tell me to go to the cows and pile some of that stuff here and pile some of it there. It's the only experience I have as a pilot. But I think, Brother Young, you're a pilot. You're a pilot. I think you up there on the dashboard, whatever they call it, the control panel. I don't mean to offend you guys. The control panel. I think they have some devices that are almost like this for the leveling of the plane. And when you're coming in to land, they're up there trying to get everything to work out. So it's best if you land with balance. If not, you might not live to tell the story. And so the whole object is to get that balance. You don't want to go too far one way. You don't want to go too far another way. It's balance. Now, I don't know how other preachers think. My life is consumed with helping people and church work. It's just, I just think it basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to constantly figure out how does God want it? How's it supposed to be? And I know this. I discovered a long time ago. God wants a church to be balanced. God wants Christians to be balanced. A balanced church is a strong church. A balanced church will be a growing church. A balanced church is a fulfilling and a delightful church. There's a stability in balance. I think our church should be like Jesus. And Jesus was one of balance. He had both strength and beauty. He had grace and truth. Jesus was balance. Something that's off balance is easily knocked over. But a balanced something is stable. Some of you that have studied English a little bit, you English majors, which I don't think anybody in their right mind really wants to be an English major. But in an English class, if you began to study and you studied enough to the point where you were doing some instructing, they would tell you that you can structure a sentence and a sentence can be off balance. There's too much in it. There's not enough of something in it. Too much of something else. It can be top heavy. But it would be a sentence structure that is not balanced or it's out of balance. A washing machine. You take a washing machine, and if it's not balanced, if it's not level, what can happen is you throw some clothes in it and they get wet and it begins to spin. And that little bit of being out of balance can take everything in the machine that's wet and throw it to one side of the drum, and it just swings around. And if you've ever heard it, it virtually sounds like a war zone. If it's up close to your dryer and a wall, and that thing is out of balance, it's swinging and banging. And, you know, moms will come a running and open the lid, and they want to get everything, but you kind of rearrange it to get the balance back in it. Y'all ever experience a washing machine out of balance? My son and I, we were talking one day, and he had bought some new tires. And they put the tires on his truck, and there was all sorts of, he was having all sorts of problems with his tires and couldn't figure out what the problem was. They were brand new tires. And what had happened is a young, inexperienced man had put the tires on, and they had stored some of the tires outdoors. And during that storage time, there's some water that got into one of the tires. And they went ahead and installed that particular tire with some water. They put it on. And put it on the car with water in that tire. So you wouldn't think it, but they finally discovered that water in that tire, when the tire would spin, that little bit of water in it was causing the tire to be out of balance. And so, I mean, the car going up the road, it was going cha-ding, 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 cha-ding. It's brand new tires. There wasn't anything wrong with the front end, but the tire and the amount of water in that tire, a little bit like the wash tub, when it got out of balance, it would bang and make noise. You let your tires get out of balance on your car, and it can shake your car all over the place. Now, balance is one of the, I think, the basic elements that is to be a part of what you and I are trying to accomplish in our lives, in our Christian lives, and I think in the church. I'm going to be extremely down to earth, extremely practical. I somehow want to make sure that you know how I think. More so, I want you to know how I think God thinks in regard to our church and our ministries. I want a church of balance, of balance. Let me get into this lesson. First of all, folks, you and I, we ought to want to grow ourselves with balance. We're to be growing in the Christian life. Jesus is our ultimate example. And remember in John 1:14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Grace has to do with our kindness, our gentleness, our tenderness. Truth has to do with just truth. It's you just put it out there. It's something that does not change. Truth has a sharpness to it. Grace has a cushion to it. And God is saying you need to have strength in your life, but you also need to have kindness in your life, and there's to be a combination of the two. And so you and I, as we're growing in the Lord, as we're helping one another grow in the Lord, we ought to want to be learning and growing ourselves into balanced Christians. Folks, we need to learn how to love properly. But wait, we need to learn how to hate properly. You know, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. There are things we're supposed to hate. There's things we're supposed to love. And so, and that's, if you want to get the proper balance in life, you want to make sure that you're loving right and you're hating right. And if you get both of those in your life in the right quantities, you'll be balanced. If you do not, you'll be like that washing machine where you're just, you're out of balance and your life is just banging and it's tearing things apart. If all you do is lovey-dovey, 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 and you never stand up for right and you never stand for truth, you're out of balance. But if all you do is be harsh and you never have that harshness seasoned with a kindness, you're out of balance. We're to be both tough and tender. There's a man that wrote a book called Man of Steel and Velvet. It was talking about a man, I'm talking about a male, that was the total package, and he was a man that was made of steel, but he was wrapped in velvet. And it was talking about a man that had balance. Learn to be rough and learn to be compassionate. Learn to laugh and learn to cry. Learn how to get balance in your life. So you and I, as Christians, we're to be balanced. And I'll say this again later. Everybody here that helps me lead around the church, I'd love for you to lead with balance. There's a time to be tough. There's a time not to be tough. There's a time to laugh. There's a time not to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time not to cry. We all need to learn that balance in life. So I say, let's you and I, as Christians, let's grow with balance. Number two, leaders of the church lead with balance. Lead with balance. There are times when you push for victory. There are other times when you relax. There are times when you show appreciation. There are times when you correct. But listen, if all you do is correct and you never praise, you're out of balance. Do you know that I believe this? I talk to our church about what a good job we do in our obedience to Christ in our giving. Did you know something? If I praise our church for our giving, if I stood up one week and threw a little bit of a fit and said, boy, there are people in here, you're not tithing, you're not giving like you're supposed to, I could even be a little bit harsh about it, but I think everyone would say, he doesn't yell and scream about that all the time. There'd be balance in it. You see, when something gets out of balance, it makes things fall apart, makes things unstable. So we need to learn to lead with balance. Folks, you lead with balance. You know, we have bus captains, Sunday school teachers, ministry leaders. I mean, there are a lot of leaders in this room. Folks, learn to hate sin, but you got to learn to love people. That's balance. You've got to be careful. You start hating people because of their sin, you're out of balance. All of a sudden, you're going to feel the balance, and that something's going to be banging and shaking, and you'll cause something you're doing to shake apart if you're not careful. Hey, let me tell you this. You take the term loyalty. I think there's a big mistake that is made among leaders. Leaders expect loyalty toward them. But I think balance is not only that the follower is loyal to the leader, but I think balance is when the leader is loyal to the follower. That creates balance. See, if a leader goes around saying, oh, I want everybody loyal to me, and they're not loyal back, I'm going to promise you something's going to fall apart somewhere along the way. There is to be a balance in that leadership. Folks, balance in leadership is have goals for tomorrow. But don't ignore today. Balance in those goals. Have balance. So, you and I are to grow as balanced Christians. As we lead in the church, we ought to lead with balance. Then, in your teaching, and we have a handful of people here that preach. We have children's church preachers and primary church preachers and youth department preachers and people that preach on buses. We have teachers that teach. Could I recommend that you preach and teach with balance? Don't be lopsided. Don't be one-sided. There are some that I've watched preachers that all they do is 50 miles an hour, red hot, screaming, yelling, virtually almost cussing and everything else. And that's the only way they ever preach. Now, they may do that if they would like. Here at our church, I'd like us to have balance in our teaching and preaching. You say, why? Because that's what Jesus was. He was strength and beauty. He was grace and truth. I think if you all want to learn to teach and preach right, learn to do this. Learn to be able to stand up, throw an ever-loving fit, preach fire down from the sky. Also learn to preach in such a way that people get to see your heart and see your tenderness and see your compassion. Let them see the balance, because I believe that is exactly what our ultimate role model was. Jesus Christ was balanced. So in your teaching and your preaching, here's another way to get balance. Learn how to teach children. Maybe learn how to teach teenagers. Learn how to teach women. Learn how to teach men. You say, why do you say all that? All those things add balance to a teacher's life. Have balance even in your sermons. There's sometimes somebody needs a doctrinal dissertation, if you will. There are other times people that need, they need motivation. There are other times when people need a little of the philosophy of the ministry. And yet there are other times when people need to be corrected. But you've got to get a balance of it all. I think there should be balance within a teaching, and I think there should be a balance in regard to what is scheduled and preached. I try not to teach or preach the same things all the time. I know people. We have standards here. We have separation standards. I know some preachers that if they have standards, that's all they talk about. Now, I have standards, but that's not all that I talk about. I have other things that I will talk about. There are some that they get on a hobby horse, and that's all they ever say. I'm going to tell you something. If they're not careful, they'll shake their organization apart because it's not balanced to where there's a smooth, there needs to be a smoothness in what's going on. Believe me, the devil will do everything he can to knock us out of balance. We need to be achieving it on purpose. How do we do that? We grow ourselves with balance. We lead with balance. We teach and we preach with balance. Let me tell you this. I think we ought to, our soul winning and the Great Commission ought to be a balanced thing. You say, how so? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now let me explain. The Great Commission so often gets out of balance because someone they don't realize the Great Commission is not one thing. The Great Commission is three things. And if a church is going to be balanced in regard to the Great Commission, they will not only be soul winning, they'll be soul winning and baptizing people and then growing those people, or as the Bible would put it, teaching them after their baptism. See, we are to be balanced in the Great Commission. We need to get people saved. But not only that, we need to get people baptized. But not only that, we need to grow those people. We ought to practice all three. We ought to teach all three. We ought to have goals in regard to all three of those. Why? We want a balanced church. God gave us a Great Commission that's got three parts, and I think He would say to us, If you're not careful, if all you do is one part, you're going to be out of balance, like that washing machine where all the wet clothes have slipped to one side and it's banging up against. You say, does that make that one part bad? No, it makes it that you have left out two good parts. It's not the presence of the bad or the presence of that good. It's the absence of the good that's been left out of the program. So the Great Commission should be balanced within a church. Let me go on. I want to select leaders to help in our church who have grace and truth. I want to select leaders in our church who have strength and beauty. In other words, I want to select leaders who have balance. Okay, in our church, we have men that help us to lead our church, and we have ladies that help us to lead our church. There's a balance in that. Now, I realize the Bible teaches that a woman is not to usurp authority over a man, and I don't have any ladies in our church that tell the men what to do, other than the wives. I don't have a lady that's in charge and going around bossing a bunch of men around or anything like that. But at the same time, there are men here that lead, there are ladies here that lead. There's a certain balance in that. I have in my church, and you all have to understand this, I have men that have many years of experience, older men. They lead. Oh, but if you're noticing, I've got a handful of young men that are learning to lead. You say, well, I think they ought to be older. Well, they'll get wise if they start at their age. And you need balance. Let me tell you something. Any church that is totally dependent on the gray hairs for the leadership, it'll be out of balance, and it'll kill itself. I think of some of the young men, and I won't start mentioning their names because most of them are kind of half goofy, but I've got some young men that are growing in leadership around here, and when you look up at them, you may not see a seasoned veteran, but they will be one day. And you say, well, Pastor, why didn't you choose someone older to lead this or to lead that? I'm trying to have balance in the choosing of leadership in our church. You look at the ladies that we choose. I have ladies that have been around the church for years, and they know a lot about a lot of different things. I also have some younger ladies. They're learning. They're decent, good younger ladies that can do the job. And they might not know everything the older lady knows, but they want to learn, and they're learning. And you have to have that balance if you want to have a church that's on the level. A church that's not rocky. A church, it adds a solidity to the ministry. You have in churches, you have people that are what I would call producers. And then you have other people that are what we would call maintainers. And it takes both in a church. There are some people that are extremely productive. They go out and get all sorts of people. Then you have others that can really help maintain. They're real good at loving the people that got brought in, but as far as them bringing somebody in, they might not bring anybody in, but you bring them in, they know how to take care of them once they get here. And did you know all those kind of people are necessary in a church? We've got bald ones, and we've got the ones with a lot of hair. That's balance. So, hey, just remember this. God only puts marble tops on those things that he considers of great value. I think God wants us to let Jesus be our ultimate role model. And Jesus was one of strength and beauty, grace and truth. The New Testament church is his. And I, from all indications, from everything I've learned, and I've studied church building and church history and the Bible and the New Testament book of Acts, they wanted a balance in what was going on around them. You look at even the men in the New Testament that were used of God. You had older ones and younger ones. You look at the ones in the Old Testament. There were older ones and younger ones. There were just people of different classes and colors, and they were all growing together. So it's called balance. We you and I ought to grow with balance, and we ought to lead with balance, and we ought to teach with balance, and we ought to practice a great commission with balance, and we ought to select our leaders with balance. I think our reaching of people ought to be balanced. You sing it. I don't know if you mean it, but I mean every word of it. When we sing, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. I want to reach them all. Balance. balance. You show me a church that doesn't matter, everybody's welcome, I'll show you a church that God will strengthen. God will strengthen. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. All souls are equal in value. And so, have a balance in our reaching of people. Hey, we're to reach all ages of people. We're going to try to reach the children here. And we have some good children's programs. We're going to try to reach the teenagers here, and we are. We're breaking out walls. We're tearing them down because our youth department's growing like it is. But wait, we got a pretty good batch of adults around here. Hey, and we don't only have young people. We have gray-haired people that takes them a little longer to get in out of the parking lot, but seasoned, strong, capable. What is that? Reaching people. Our ministry that we call Young at Heart Ministry, Brother Hollinger and I on purpose, we said in our county, there are all sorts of people that come here to retire. There are all sorts of people at that age level, and I think they need good things to do. We plan, I wouldn't mind building an empire for that age people at this church. I think it would just be fantastic. I don't know a lot of churches that want to reach out like that, but let me tell you something. I want to get all the children we can here, but at the same time, I want to get every senior citizen we possibly can here. They're all a part of the balance of the New Testament church, and that's how I think how Jesus wanted it to be. You know, we're supposed to be reaching people of all financial statuses. The poor, we're to reach them. We're to reach out to them, and they're welcome here. The middle class. And I don't think God has these classes. This is how our society set it up. But I think we're to reach out to the poor. I think we're to reach out to the middle class. Let me tell you where people can make their mistake. I think we're also to reach out to the people that are successful. Now, the Bible teaches us the more successful they are, usually the more pride they have and the harder it is to reach them. But nowhere in the Bible did God give us a free pass and say, well, since they're successful, you don't have to reach them. No, we need to reach them. So, then there are people in this room, we've gone out soul winning and visiting in $300,000, $400,000, and $500,000 homes and knocked on their doors. You say, why are we going to do that when they're probably going to reject us? Because we want balance. We want balance. We could go to the poorest section of town one week and knock on doors and invite people. But did you notice in our spring program, we're inviting your boss and your business owner. You say, why? They have souls too. Somebody's got to care about them. So I'm for the bus kids. Don't be so much for the bus kids that you forget there are other people out there. Hey, did you know that someone that's lost is lost, whether they're rich or poor, and they're both in darkness, and somebody's got to reach out to both of them, and God loved them all. And just like we could fight for the bus kids and say, let's reach them, you better remember, the rich people, they have a soul too, and they need to be born again. And we were not given a free pass, and we shy away from them because we tend to think when they reject Jesus, they're rejecting us. But that's just part of the what you do for Christ. We need to reach them all. What are we talking about? The reaching of people, in my opinion, according to the Scripture, ought to be done in a balanced way. Then, number 7, I think that I want us to use balance in regard to our standards, our separation issues of life. I'm talking about our righteous living, our holy living. Folks, if you ever go, here's what I was told as a young man, and I've had the privilege of being around some older, wiser preachers. I spent more time with the older men than I did the men my age, so I got to pick up on some things that they taught me that are very valuable to me today. A pastor told me one time, he said, if you ever walk into a church and everybody in that church is cleaned up and look like a fundamentalist, they're probably not doing their job. Why? Well, if you're reaching new people, they're going to look like new people. You say, well, I'm offended with them looking like new people. You used to look like a new people. I'm not offended with that. Now, you know, I'll tell people to cover up if they're totally morally immodest, but at the same time, we ought to be having people come in here and they ought to be looking a little bit rough. You say, why? They're new recruits. How many of you went to boot camp? Would you raise your hand? Now, you look pretty good on the other side of the barber, didn't you? You ever looked at that motley looking crew prior to boot camp? Look, folks, until they get in the Army, they're not going to know how to dress, how to walk, how to talk, how to smell, what they're supposed to do. And we ought to keep them around long enough to get them to be a part of the Army. So I think there's a balance that's necessary. So in regard to these standards, there are some people that won't have standards. There are others that will have baby standards. And yet there will those that will mature and have adult standards. And you got to look at it logically and say, well, pastors taught us, the Bible says, we're to be a church of balance. So you're going to have people at all those levels. Now, here's what's sad. If you still have baby standards, it's time for you to grow up and step up. If you're at adult standard age, realize there's some that are just, if you would just look at it right, do you understand we have people today that just got born? We have people saved this morning. They just got born. Now, how could a newborn one know what you know after all these years? And so, we have balance in regard to our standards. And I try to do this also. I try to have some balance in regard to service opportunities. You know, there are some things in our church that you will live right, dress right, act right. You won't get to do it unless you'll abide by the standards. But, you know, we have some other things that we'll make available to you where you can get involved if you don't know all those standards. Got to have some balance in it. Now, everybody can't do everything. But at the same time, you're a member of our church. We'll find a little piece of the pie somewhere where you can get involved. If nothing else, you can show up and go out soul winning with us all you want. Now, I try to preach standards with some balance. Look, my standards have not changed through all the years. I still believe everything I've always believed about separation from the world. I try to be careful because I'm trying to grow people. I'm trying to give people a chance to grow. But I know people that have standards and they have very strong convictions and dress codes, but that's all they ever talk about in their pulpit. And it's not my job to tell them what to say in their pulpit. But for me, I'm going to teach it, I'm going to preach it, but it's going to be mixed in with a whole bunch of other things. And some get the idea, well, you think that's the only thing about the Christian life? Well, no, I don't. I think there are a lot of other parts of the Christian life. When I do preach on it and teach on it, you'll probably wish that I hadn't have. But it's a part of balance. So we need to teach standards with balance, and we need to preach standards with balance. And we need to realize that even we have to receive people with an understanding that brand new saved people don't know how to act, don't know how to live, don't understand separation. And it's important for me to teach you to have the right attitude toward the people that don't know about the standards. You know what? I want our community to be so impressed with our love that they tolerate our high standard of spiritual holiness that we expect. In other words, you love people so much, they look at you and they say, well, and them women in their skirts and men keep their hair cut and they just got that little house on the prairie look. But I'll tell you what, those are good people out there. They'll love you. They'll be good to you. We ought to have the strength of the standards, and I don't want to be like all the other Baptist churches. I want to have separation. We're going to stand for the King James Bible. We're going to teach there's a right way to dress. We're going to teach against the wrong kind of music. We're going to preach it. We're going to teach it. But we have got to love in an equal balance, because if we don't, we're going to get out of balance, and that old washing machine will get to thumping, and you'll shake everything apart. Strong growth is balanced growth. I'm almost done. Let's see if I lied. You know, well, I'm 2/3 done. I think we ought to have balance in our Sunday school ministries. I want you to notice we have a variety of classes. We have adult classes and a variety of classes. We have youth, teenage classes, but we have a variety of youth classes. We have the balance of having classes for juniors and seniors, but wait a minute, then we go all the way down to the middle school level. You've got that balanced out. Well, we've got classes for boys, but wait a minute, we've got classes for girls at the same level. We do that all the way through our ministry. What is it? It's balance. We're building balance all the way around us. We have a class that is set aside for people age 55 and above. There's some balance. It also balances out the fact that we go all the way down to nursery age. It balances out the fact that we have four different adult Sunday school classes. I hope God soon allows me. I'd like to get us started a young married couples class. We're going to call it the building and battling class. But what is that? It's all balance. We're looking for balance. I want classes at all levels. I want classes. I want there to be a hey, one day God will allow us and we'll have a class that speaks to the deaf in Sunday school, and we'll have a class that speaks in Spanish, the Sunday school. Someday we'll have a class that speaks to the blondes. That'd be the same as the dumb. Stay with me here, folks. What are we looking for? Balance. Number nine. I think the service opportunities in the church, we want them to be balanced. And again, we want things. There are things. Look, not just anybody, even according to the Bible, can pastor the church. Not just anybody can be a deacon. There are certain qualifications. But just about anybody could make some chocolate chip cookies and bring them down to the church and bring them to a fellowship. And everybody can go soul winning. There's different levels of service opportunity for different levels of Christians. What is that? That is balance in service at the church. Number 10, may I give you a quick recommendation? While you're rearing your children, rear them with balance. Want your kids to have strength. Want your children to have beauty. You say, why? Because that's what Jesus is. They're not to be like you. They're to be like Jesus. He is our ultimate role model. Teach your boys how to throw a ball, how to clean a fish, gut a deer, and then how to sing a part. In teen choir. That's called balance. Girls ought to learn how to care for themselves and be gracious and kind and soft. But not so soft that they're like a museum piece that is worthless and they can't work and they're afraid to clean their house and work hard. There's a balance that's to be achieved. Our young people need to be reared with balance. There needs to be a home life. There needs to be a church life. There's going to be a school life. I don't think any one of those ought to just totally take over their life. I've watched people let school take over their child's entire life and it become prominent. You'll regret that. It'll be like the washing machine thumping. And I know some, it's nothing but church, so they fail school. No, I think that they need to learn their schooling. And let me tell you this. I know people that turn their kids over to the school and never rear their own kids. I got news for you. You're to rear your own kids. It's not the church's job to rear your kids, and it's not the Christian school's job to rear your kids. There is to be a balance. The church makes an investment. The home makes an investment. The right kind of a school makes an investment. And when they're all doing their part, you have balance. You have balance. We want balance in our music program here. Now, we'll never have rock or contemporary or country or rap. We're not going to have any of that here. But within the propriety of music, hey, we're going to have solos. We're going to have duets. We're going to have trios. We're going to have quartets. We're going to have ensembles. We're going to have a tiny tots choir. We're going to have a children's choir. We're going to have a teen choir. We're going to have an adult choir. What is that? That's balance. Balance in it all. We're going to have adults that sing, and children that sing, and teenagers that sing, and men that sing, and ladies that sing, and young ones that sing. And older ones that sing. And by the way, there will be times when someone will stand up here and sing a very methodical, a very serious, a very calm song. There'll be another time when some quartet will get up here and just dazzle you and it'll be a toe tapper. But we will have both. We'll never turn into just a quartet church and that's all you ever have is rousing, wild, make your toe tap. Nor are we going to turn into a church where everybody's about half dead and it's morgue music all the time. What are we going to do? We're going to have balance. We're going to have balance. We're going to have a little bit of it all. We will have instruments, which I do not mind. If they're controlled and they're used right, it makes for a wonderful balance. Hey, in missions, I want to have balance. I want to support the missionaries who are getting people saved, baptized, and trained. There's balance in that. But you notice that even in the Great Commission, it said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. Do you know what? There's four parts to the Great Commission, and it kind of laid it out for us. We ought to want balance. We ought to want to reach people in all four of those areas. You say, what areas? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the world. I happen to think that means at home, stateside, countryside, and abroad. Get a balance. Churches are strong when they're balanced. And this is my last point. Cross my heart, hope Brother Young dies. I don't want that to happen. He runs a church behind the scenes, so I've got to have him. In our activities around the church, we want balance. We have activities for our senior citizens. We have activities for our children. Just a couple weeks ago, King's Kids had an activity. Flyers Club has activities. The teenagers, they're gonna bowl. And by the way, in a very controlled and proper environment. But those are activities. Bus routes have activities. I think Tyler, part of his spring program, he's getting this big blow-up Summa suit, and his buser, they're going to tape dollar bills to it, and the bus riders are going to chase him to get dollar bills, probably with pocket knives, and you'll... But we have activity for the bus kids. We have activity. We're having pizza together on Wednesday night. We didn't have to do that. It just sounds like a fun thing to do right before church. What is it? It's activity. We have service-oriented activities. There are times when we go do things to help people. We have indoor, outdoor. Sometimes the things get a little athletic. Other times they're very, very calm. We've had a watch night service just full of fun, and it was very calm indoors. And then men, you remember we had the men's activity out here where we were doing all the logging and cutting trees down and making things happen. I believe, if I understand properly, Jesus was as powerful of a man as a man could be. But wait, he was also as tender, kind, and gentle of a man as he could be. And he's the ultimate role model. You and I should want to have both strength and beauty. I think then the New Testament church is God's. It's not ours, it's his. I think his goal is that we have a balanced church. And that's what we want to achieve. I just kind of want you to know where we're going and why we're going there. It helps us all to get the balance as we go there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Young men who are watching for the ministry in the future, I hope you listen to what you were told today. You probably won't learn that in most college classes. If you've listened to what's been said today, it is the key to part of this thing of the New Testament church success. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight and you need a moment at this altar, for whatever the reason, there's some of you, you're very strong, you're very harsh, you need to get the balance of the other side. There's some of you, you're soft, you're very weak, you need to get the balance of the strength. Parents, get that balance in your child rearing. Bosses, get that balance in your leadership. Let's all pull together and let's be like Jesus. That's what I want for my personal life. That's what I want for God's church, the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I've learned something. I've been challenged tonight. Would you let God see your hand? We'll have an altar call. You may put your hands down. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. You come. A balanced church. Strength and beauty. Grace and truth. Young and old, red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, educated, yes, uneducated, sure. God wants to reach them all. And the church has got to have some of all of it if we're going to reach them all. Balance. while you're busy teaching your son how to play baseball, basketball, football, how to hunt and fish, you might want to take a little time and tell him that it is important that he passes his English class. Might be good for him to play a musical instrument. Why? Because he will help to achieve balance. Balance. Every real man ought to know when it's time and how to step up and lead. That very same man, if he's the total package, knows when it's time to back off and follow. One ought to be able to lead with the same strength that one can follow, and one ought to be able to follow with the same strength with which they would lead. Balance. Balance. While you're busy enjoying the upbeat quartet music, somebody else might have said, "That's a little fast for me." Then, when that soloist got up and sang that hard, tender, rising song, somebody loved that, and you said, "Ah, that's a little drab for me." But the balance of the church, it's really not all about you, it's all about Jesus Christ. But get the balance of it. If all we did was give you everything you want at our church, it would be out of balance. Some of you moms and dads can be thankful. Most moms and dads are not the total package, and moms are not the total package. And though I'm not telling you I'm glad of this, I can tell you this. Often, one of the two is a strong one and the other is a soft one, and somehow your kids have a chance to turn out right. You say, why? Because they got both strength and beauty wrapped up in two individuals. God's ultimate goal is that dad be both strong and tender, and mom be both strong and tender. But if not, thank God one's strong and one's tender, because your kids have a chance to get a dose of each in equal quantity, and your child might turn out normal.